Let me speak to a man who's been covering this very diligently and carefully over the last couple of months, indeed. Eamon Malley. Eamon, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Eamon, are we looking down the barrel of an election here?
Yes, potentially. As it obtains at the moment, I have no evidence that the two sides can reconcile where they are. But listen, we've had negotiations and discussions for years and years and years in Northern Ireland, and ultimately something was worked out. But the demand by Sinn Féin for Arlene Foster to step aside, that's non-negotiable. And I mean, you see, I went thoroughly through this last night at very senior level in the DUP, and it's non-negotiable. And there are several reasons for this. Arlene Foster wears a badge of being the hard woman, along with her brooch. Now, the DUP are not in a mood for her to yield ground on this issue. She is portrayed as a tough leader. She likes the image. And the Westminster MPs, the bulk of whom make up the officers of the party, they will not allow her, even if she were mindful, I'm told, to bow the knee, to step aside, even for a day. They would not allow it to happen. There hangs the tail at the moment. That's the deadlock. Now, all this talk of conflict within the Sinn Féin party about should it be a full-blooded inquiry or simply an investigation under the remit of somebody of a quasi-judicial status, judge status. That's for the birds. The bottom line.
But is it for the birds, Eamon? Did Sinn Féin get a typing error in that first release, or are they confused on where they're going with it?
Listen, this is where it's at. Regardless of what you hear publicly, this is where it's at. Sinn Féin know a judicial-led inquiry under the Inquiries Act, Frank, would take from now until the cows would come home, and that could be several years away. Not going to happen. They know what's on offer. I've listened to Declan Kearney very, very carefully several times in the past 48 hours. The DUP and Sinn Féin know precisely what's on the table. There's an investigation on the table offer. What is at stake? That is an investigation. The Attorney General, I understand, Declan Kearney has said this, is involved, has been involved. He will have a role in the introduction of some senior judicial figure, external judicial figure, to undertake this investigation, not an inquiry, not a judicial inquiry per se under the Inquiries Act. Everybody knows the difficulties with that, the time it would take, the costs involved. So what is in play is an investigation. Kearney's been spelling this out very specifically. But the critical issue is they want some blood. They want Arlene Foster's head on a plate temporarily, not on offer. That's the long and the short of it. There's the deadlock. They've got 2 weeks to sort out this differential between the Sinn Féin demand for Arlene's stepping aside and the DUP's rigorous refusal to entertain this idea.
So what's meant then by the tipping point?
Well, basically, Sinn Féin are now, it appears, making this issue of Arlene stepping aside a core principle for them, because the grounds being, the allegation being, she was the minister with responsibility. But this is merely the cumulative effect of so much that has been not happening within the relationship. Bottom line is, probably what has been more deleterious, what has done more harm than the fuel crisis, has been the behaviour of Paul Given over the £50,000 Gaeltacht grants. Even inside in the Democratic Unionist Party, there are people who would agree, who detest the Irish language, that think this was gratuitous, that it was appallingly badly handled. And this has so aggravated Sinn Féin, but not just Sinn Féin, Frank. You can take it from me. I live in the country. I'm from Armagh. I'm out the country. I'm talking to Catholic nationalist community. Do you see that blocking of that grant, £50,000? That is hurting more than the RHI in many cases, and particularly in the Catholic nationalist community. And this is the other thing that is at play here. Don't you kid yourself. Sectarianism is writ large at work here. There is a perception that the Protestant Unionist community were well informed, briefed, up to speed about this RHI scheme and the potential for that scheme from growers and producers' point of view. There's a potential that the Protestant Unionist community, those who knew, stole a march on those who didn't know within the Catholic Nationalist community. That is right at the core of it. This is the elephant in the room. This is that which about which people are not talking. That is what's going on. There's a deep suspicion that the information was passed along the line to certain sections of the community, and that they took advantage of the opportunity at business connections, friends, etc., etc. That's what's going down here. This is the unwritten story. That's what's in the psyche of the nationalist community at this point.
But is there a suggestion in what you're saying that people in the community that you say you're paying visits to or that you're from would be happier if they had a good in on the scandal?
Well, I'm not saying that, but I don't know if it was fair to say that at the beginning was perceived to be a scandal. But geographically, it's very, very interesting. I've been looking at some geographics attaching to this whole thing. And you'd find certain areas of Northern Ireland where this scheme did not penetrate. There seemed to be complete and utter lack of awareness. And yet, you'd get density areas where there was absolute penetration of this scheme. Now, questions are being asked. How did that happen? And that is at the heart of it. That is deep down in the psyche of people. And even in the Democratic Unionist Party, you take it from me, I am pulsing all the time. There are people inside in the Democratic Unionist Party are very concerned are very concerned about this very perspective themselves, because they too are preoccupied. Decent, honourable people are questioning, could it be possible? Could it be possible that the old Bush Telegraph was at work favouring a certain section of the community?
Of course,
that is a very serious issue. This is coming from inside the Democratic Unionist Party. This is not coming from nationalism. It's out there in nationalism, but it's even in there in the Democratic Unionist Party among some decent, honourable people. And there were some people, Frank, I know some people who were fully acquainted with the scheme in the Protestant community and would not touch it. They smelt a rat. They said, there's something not right about this. There's a ruse. There's some ambush here somewhere along the line. And they did not avail of that scheme.
Eamon, and we must also emphasise, of course, there are many people in the scheme who were in it for the right reasons. But yes, we have to get to the bottom of the spike and all of that. But to get back to where we are at this present moment in time, where you're saying that the DUP are not going to allow the head of Arlene to be offered, and Sinn Féin are demanding that her head be on a plate, how do they resolve that?
I don't know if you can. You can take it from me, what I'm saying is correct. In terms of Arlene's position, she is not for moving. And those officers, I know those officers, and you know them as well, Frank. Do you think the Gregory Campbells and the Nigel Dodds and these guys are going to allow that to happen now over their dead bodies? It's not going to happen.
So as the papers are suggesting, will Stormont collapse?
At this moment in time, that's the way it's shaping up. But, you know, I remember you're always cautious about these things. Who knows what can happen? Events, who knows what's going to fall out of the cupboard in the next week? Who knows? When this list emerges, you're going to probably find that the majority of people acted honourably and availed of a scheme which was available. And why wouldn't they? I was down south in the last couple of days, and all over the country there are schemes for cutting the hedges down and then to allow them to thicken up. There are schemes running for 5 years. You're getting government grants. People are availing of those schemes all the time in the farming community, perfectly legitimately. But it's when the abuses enter the equation. And that's ultimately what has caused all this grief, where the allegations of sheds with 12 boilers burning the people who are not even in farming, not even growers, the business people who are just taking advantage of the situation. That's where the whole problem lies here. That's where the abuses, the scheme itself. Sorry, it was a government scheme, and as I understand it, those who entered that scheme and acted horribly will not ultimately suffer under the so-called grandfather rights. Jamie DeLargy, more expert in this area than I am, once a contract is entered by the government with an individual and both act honourably, you cannot then suddenly withdraw the scheme and say, no, you're not getting your money. I think then you the barristers and solicitors come into it, and that becomes very, very nasty, and you could have a class act then, you could have a collective of people taking a case against the government. So, and I think there's some precedent for this in England. There was an attempt to withdraw some of the money in England, and I think the case was lost. The government lost the case. So, there are irregular practices, no doubt about it. And I suppose ultimately those are the ones which have to be addressed, and the people have to be flushed out who were violating the system, Frank.
Eamon, always good to speak to you. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much indeed.